Well, I just wanted to read first, of course, Brother Emil mentioned also, I know it has nothing to do with what you said, Brother Chuck, but I feel like I have to read these verses. Wait. 1 Corinthians. Sorry, 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And it is not wonderful, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Well, the question that was also arose, Brother John also asked, how can we know that these people, how can we withstand them? And Acts chapter 17, it's a very well-known verse. It might be very familiar to many of us, but I want to read it again. I think it's very important. It tells us about the people of Berea. Acts 17, verse 11. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, receiving the word with all readiness of mind, daily searching the scriptures if these things were so. So the condition in order to know what is from the Lord or not is to search the scripture. And finally, I want to read John 10. Because how can we recognize that a wolf is clothed in sheep? How do you call it? Sheep's clothing. Exactly. Thank you. It's not. You cannot see it. You cannot see it from the outside. It might be a very wonderful, from the outside looking, good looking and good behavior. But the Lord tells us that we have to listen to the voice. What is he saying? Not how does he walk like? Well, maybe also the walk, but of course the whole chapter is important, but I read verse 5 and verse 27. But they will not follow a stranger, but will flee from him. Why? Because they know not the voice of strangers. And then verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
So you mentioned Miriam a minute ago. And Miriam's problem is she didn't recognize the Lord's voice through Moses. And we need to recognize the Lord's voice, and we need not to listen to man. And part of the problem we had in Acts 20 was they were listening to men that were perverting the gospel. But we also have men that are speaking perfectly good things, Apollos. And I want to be very frank with the young people. We have five young men here, or five men that have been helping us. Chuck is just a man. Amon was just a man. David is just a man. Tony's just a man. John is just a man. We should not be holding them above any other man.
True.
And I think often, sometimes we do. And this is a problem. This is exactly what the problem was with the Corinthians. And we need to remember that they're just men. And yes, they have some good things to tell us. But they're not anything better than us. And we can't hold everything they say to be true. We need to go back and check what they're saying. And we don't want to have any cause for problem by exalting them above ourselves or anyone else.
Well, we certainly hope that you're not doing that. I don't think there's anyone here that wants to be put upon a pedestal. I think there is a warning we need, though. We're talking about two different areas. One are false apostles, false teachers. These people are not saved.
Right.
Now, make the distinction between these people and many of the Corinthians that we're talking about who knew the Lord. They were brothers and sisters in Christ, but there were things that had come in. We want to realize we have to deal differently with these two groups. We certainly don't want to deal with a brother that is erring and treat him as if he were a false teacher and not saved at all, or an angel of light. Now, I think, again, it comes back to asking, how did we get into this condition to begin with? How did we come? How did the church go from this small circle of the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer to what we see around us today? Well, I want you just to stop and bear with me just a minute. Emil over here, you know, he really likes the idea of the tongues movement. And he knows about these four circles. But, you know, he would kind of like to be identified with others that hold this opinion that tongues really are for now. I kind of like the idea of trying to think of what one would be, the healing area. John wants to be known by his views on baptism. Tony, you know, he has a method for everything that he does. And these are, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And he likes to be known for the way he does things. So these four or five of us, we haven't left the body of Christ. We're still members of the body of Christ. But we have, in a practical way, we've left that small circle of the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer, and we perhaps have taken a group of believers with us. We've taken others, you see, to help us propagate the view that we're talking about. Brothers and sisters, this is where the condition that we find all around us has come from. That many of these men that began the denominational movements in this country we live in and abroad were godly men. They loved the Lord. We're not denying. They're members of the body of Christ. There's not a denial of that. But they many times wanted to be known by that which was unique and that which they propagated. What is the movement about? And it is a movement. Are the brethren anybody? Are we anybody any better than any other believers? We have to realize that. I hope that when we see that loaf on the table, that we don't view in that loaf those who are known as brethren. I see in that loaf those that belong to the Lord Jesus, wherever they are. And I come back to the ground of gathering that we would want to have. We want to recognize every true believer that belongs to the Lord Jesus. We recognize we can't break bread with every one of them. But our ground of gathering is not a certain set of principles that set us aside. We gather unto the name of Christ. He's not here. We recognize where He is. But He's told us again, where two or three are gathered together unto My name, I am going to be there in the midst of those believers. Now somebody comes along and says, well, then the Lord's not over here. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm not free to say where the Lord is not, particularly. I'd much rather take the ground of saying, I know where He is. He is where two or three are gathered together unto His name. And so we want to see that this is going to make us not distinctively something better than anyone else in this world. As you've mentioned, men among us, so I'm mentioning us among the great denominations of Christians that are in this world. We aren't anybody special. We just all belong to the Lord. But there is a ground of gathering. There is a center that we gather to. He is unique.